I guess some of you might be familiar with that picture of the mountain in Exodus when Moses is summoned to God's presence. And God warns the people of Israel through Moses, don't even come near the mountain or you'll be stoned to death. Go back home and read that account in Exodus. The mountain is shrouded in darkness and clouds. Then the fire of God comes. And as Moses speaks to God, God answers with thunder. The people were terrified, as indeed was Moses himself. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews is recalling in our reading from which Liz read. For they could not endure the order. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. That should give us pause for thought that the awesomeness of God's appearance, God's glory, was such that people were petrified. That the awesomeness of God's glory gives us, therefore, a glimpse of the real state, of the reality of God in heaven. He has every right, by dint of who he is, holy, all-powerful, all-wise, all-victorious, to cow us into submission, simply by allowing us to see who he is in his glory. Remember, when his presence fills the temple, they fall flat on their faces. But what do we hear in our reading from Hebrews? Paul writing to his countrymen, his awesome specter, this frightening God. But to a God who welcomes you to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, all in there celebrating the goodness of God. God is not revealing the harshness of the God of judgment, which he is, the God of destruction, but the God of love, the God of hope, the God of life. God does not come to cow us in submission. Instead, he comes as a man in the person of Jesus and seeks to heal, to restore us from the yoke of slavery we submitted ourselves to when Adam gave away our authority to Satan at the fall. As that is to us, we do well not to refuse or resist him. For salvation. The truth is, sadly, most of us resist him, if not all the time, most of the time. You see, how many will grumble loudly or silently if we start talking about healing again? And the necessity for us as disciples of the healer to step out in faith to offer healing to others. I don't think we have a choice. We cannot but do this. To do otherwise is to deny the nature of Jesus, the one whom we sing and applaud and exalt as our rabbi, our guide, our mentor, our teacher, our God. How can we say we are disciples if we don't follow what the Master says and instructs us to do? What proportion of the Gospels do you think is about healing? One commentator points this out, that nearly one-fifth of the gospel accounts is devoted to Jesus' healing ministry, including the circumstances, the methods used, and the effects on the patients and those who were onlookers. Out of 3,779 verses in the four gospels, 727 relate specifically to the healing of physical and mental illness and the resurrection of the dead. It should be noted, he says, that the attention given to the healing ministry of Jesus is far greater than any one kind of experience recorded, including salvation. This suggests that your ministry and my ministry cannot ignore supernatural healing if we are to be disciples following. Yet the good news is God is far too gracious for doing it. From a sense of striving, from a sense of doing it in our own strength. No, we can't. He's the healer, never us. What he calls us to do is to seek him. And as our eyes are fixed on him, it's his presence with us, within us, which brings healing and restoration and wholeness. And perhaps that's why that word we had of a prophetic word or interpretation of scripture of the tongues. God was saying, "Come to and be fed by me. Come to my arms." He was also saying, "Put roots down into the water of life. Roots down into the spirit, so that my presence can overflow within you." His very presence is healing and restoration. A few days ago, I was reading Romans 11, and these words just etched themselves in my mind. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. That's the God we worship. For from him and through him and to him are all things. As we seek Jesus, seek God, and his presence comes. He brings the light of creation. He brings creativity. He brings restoration with him. Because in him there is only light. In him there is only life. There is no sickness, no death, no brokenness, no evil, no pain, no mourning, tears. And when we come into his presence like Moses, his life radiates from him into us. Enters our blood cells, enters our skin, so that our very core, and it begins to restore and to make us whole. You know, I think that's the reason why when Moses died at 120, he was still strong, he was still able-bodied, because he met continually with God, and God is life, and that life sustained him, sustained his strength. Now, that's a recipe for good health for you. You spend time meditating, listening to God, and see if your health doesn't improve. You spend time in his presence. Because God wants to make you the people and the person you were called to be right at the beginning. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Well, don't say, "I don't know how to speak." You've got the capacity, just like Moses, Jeremiah did. Why? Because God has placed his spirit within you, the Holy Spirit. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to dig deep into God, and if you don't suppress the Holy Spirit within you, then that spirit within you will make itself manifest to the world around you, to show who God is. As you talk about Jesus, about the God you love, as you give your testimony and thank him, as you share your love towards others in practical way, as well as praying for them, as you're willing to step out in faith to do the things Jesus did, like declaring healing over others, you show your obedience to the one who could command obedience simply by glory. You see, God could just show us his glory, that mountain with thunder, lightning, and flashes of fire. And we'd be cowed into belief. But he doesn't want us to be cowed into belief. He wants us willingly to go into his open arms, to embrace him, to hear, to feel, to see the love that is coming from him, which Ali mentioned, that love that's just been poured out all the time towards us. And that's why Paul says to his own people, the Hebrews, "See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, the one giving you a kingdom that cannot be shaken." And what is that kingdom? It's his presence, you and me, for which we must give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. All created things will vanish, but not him or his presence. You see, folk, we are approaching 2 or 3 years in which I believe our world is going to be shaken. We're already having the stirrings of it. We all know what's happening, possibilities of trade war. These things affect us economically, so it will shake the fabric of nations. Who knows what will happen with our own Brexit deliberations? We just pray for wisdom for Her Majesty's government and for His guidance. But you must be the most peaceful people on earth at this time, because you've got God's Spirit within you. And you know that His presence within you is unshakable. You know that He's faithful to you. You know that He loves you. We've heard about that love today mentioned in the worship. As you place your faith in Him, as you look to Him, whatever the news is pouring out day by day, you can rest on the rock that is Jesus and be at peace. You see, God wants us to be like His Son, Jesus Christ, full of His presence, full of the Spirit, that when we walk into a room, the atmosphere changes, the darkness and unbelief is banished. Healing and restoration becomes possible. Yeah, He's talking about you. You, each one of us. I know I'm far from it. And most of us would say, we don't walk into a room and atmospheres change. But that's what should be. It was the presence of Jesus that brought healing. The crippled woman hadn't asked for it. She hadn't begged for it. She hadn't said, like blind Bartimaeus and others, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. No, she simply walked, entered the synagogue where Jesus was already teaching. And crippled by her sickness, her scoliosis, or whatever disease it was, she enters the presence of Jesus, and compassion moves His heart and flows from His heart. And He sets her free from her ailment. She stands up straight for the first time in 18 years and naturally gives thanks by praising God. Are we going to have the same attitude as the leader of the synagogue? He was blind to the possibilities that God had placed in front of him. That the healer was there in his midst. The presence of God was there. What a wonderful, the Messiah was within his grasp. But he said, no, don't come here on Sundays or Sabbath day, Saturday. Don't come here for healing. Come another day. The miracle escaped him completely. He was more concerned about rules and tradition and regulation than acknowledging the presence, the transforming presence of God. God has placed possibilities within you that you don't even begin to understand. Because you don't have to have faith as big as a mountain. He says, like a mustard seed, tiny thing, to step out in faith. When somebody shares, I pray with you. Try, Jordan saying, he spells faith, T-R-Y. Not risk, but T-R-Y. Just try. Be obedient. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to do all I have commanded you. When Barbara spoke in tongues earlier, I didn't want to see, because I just felt there was a sadness. None of us knows when our last day is going to be. Could be today. Could be in an accident tomorrow, could be in 20 years' time. We don't know. But wouldn't it be a shame if when we stand before Him, He says, why didn't you try? You heard it over and over again. Why didn't you try? Go and make disciples, doing the things I taught you to do, I commanded you to do. Why didn't you try? And that's as much a rebuke to me as well, potentially. If I'm not faithful to getting you to try, to release, so that when you go and visit the sick, when you go and visit our friend Brian Rowley, our brother in Christ, pray for him, declare healing over him. When you visit somebody in hospital, or a loved one, or a parent, declare. What did Colin say earlier? He said, keep praying. He said, never give up. Because it's Him, it's His goodness. It's not dependent on your supernatural power. And you can only try and keep on trying. Jesus says, persevere in prayer. Faith, we've heard over these past few weeks, as we've journeyed through Hebrews, we've heard about faith and faith and faith and faith. Let's have the faith to be those who recognize Jesus is with us, is in us, and He gives us His power to use for the benefit of others. Let us not reject God's grace, His invitation to us to co-labor with Him in extending the kingdom around us. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. I hold up my hands. I refuse it often. Sometimes I'm busy, I'm trying to get out of the supermarket. I'm not concentrating on, Lord, what you want to say to the cashier. I'm just trying to get through. But every day, every moment of every day is an opportunity. When you go to the filling station, when you go to your office, your school, your college, your place of work, your place of fun with your friends, your neighbors, it's an opportunity to talk about Him. To say how much He means to you. And we're going to pray now. Chris has graciously allowed me he's prepared intercessions. But I just really feel, if you've got illness in you, you want healing for yourself, to be bold, to stand up today. Just stand up, because it's not me. Just stand up if you need healing. Whatever it is, asthma, diabetes, bad back, pain in the tooth, whatever it is, because He's the God who heals. And He just wants us to try. So stand up. And then what I want, like, those around us, please don't feel compelled to do this, but please, those who are going to be prayed for, don't give long, just say, I want healing for cancer, back pain, back toothache, whatever it is. Don't go into the whole medical etymological explanation of it. But folk, those who are sitting, I want you to rise to this challenge. Find someone who's standing. Go to them. And if they're more than one of you, if one of you asks and the other, and then just declare healing for whatever it is they've asked prayer for. Let's do this now. So can we find somebody who's standing and go to them and just ask them briefly just to say what would they like prayer for? And if there were three of you standing together, can you split up so people... And don't be daunted if they say, I want healing for a lame leg or hearing or sight. Now, find somebody if you can, if you want to. And can I encourage you? Don't pray, just declare healing. I declare healing for whatever it is in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare healing. And what I'd ask you also to do, once you've declared healing, wait upon them, watch them, pray with your eyes open, declare with your eyes open, watch them so they don't fall down. And then ask them if they feel anything, if they've sensed anything. And if you're waiting for prayer and nobody's come around you, can you put a hand up? Thank you, Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for your saints moving in faith. Try in this room. Come, Holy Spirit, and do what you do. Thank you, Jesus. Has anyone felt anything, a sense of warmth, or actually felt the pain decrease? Some of you may have ailments like diabetes, which you can't feel. Yeah. One person there. Thank you, Jesus. You felt it? Yeah, thank you. Anybody else felt something? Well, can we give a hand to all those who've tried? Because, folk, it's about trying. I'm sorry, the story is rather hackneyed, but many of you will know of John Wimber. He prayed for over 1,000 people before he saw a physical healing before his sight. But I want you to rejoice that, thank you, Jesus, that churches up and down this land are seeing and experiencing far more than that. We give thanks for medical science, for the doctors, like who brought healing to others through the skills that people give. But Jesus wants us to heal supernaturally. So I'd like to thank you for trying. And may that encourage you. When a friend or a colleague shares a burden, may not be physical, may I encourage you to pray, just to declare healing for them. And if you visit some of our folk who are in hospital or in homes, then declare healing. Don't just have a cup of tea with them. Declare healing. And believe that the God of the impossible can do it. To conclude, let's put up the collect for today, please, Sarah. As we say this together, let's take it to heart. Lord of heaven and earth, as Jesus taught his disciples to be persistent in prayer, give us patience and courage never to lose hope, but always bring our prayers before you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.